MLB, NBA, NHL, NFL, Score Big has all the sports tickets you want at up to 60% off. It's easy to use. I've used it myself. All you got to do is log on to sportsgamblingpodcast.com and click the Score Big icon. Score Big, the lead pipe lock for great game tickets. Sports Gambling Podcast. I am Sean, stacking the money green with my partner in picks, Ryan, Real Money Kramer. Upset specials all around, Ryan. What upset from this past NFL week was the most surprising?
Probably the Ravens, right?
Okay.
I don't really know.
Well, you got the Chargers, you got the Vikings, Miami, all upsets. Who else?
Vikings were at home.
Okay.
I don't know. I think a lot of the
Pittsburgh.
Most of the upsets you mentioned were teams that were at home. The Redskins result would have been shocking, I guess, if they get that 2 points. So the result's shocking regardless.
St. Louis.
Yeah. I don't know if you listened to the show last week, Sean, but I did call that.
Have them as the upset special.
I think the most surprising, surprising result, not just underdog, was the Ravens for me.
Hmm. All right, interesting take. I guess I'll have to say, I'm going to actually have to go Rams. I saw where you're coming from with that upset special pick. Like
it's classic, Sean. Classic. Look ahead game next week.
Out of these upsets, I would say that was the one that most surprised me. I wasn't surprised that St. Louis covered.
They go on the road, get whooped by Seattle, come home, get right in a big divisional game against Carolina.
Right, all
they
I'm saying
take
is
to the road,
to the other upsets.
They take to the road against a non-divisional, lower-level team that happens to thrive on their home field. Meanwhile, the most important game of their season is the following week in Carolina. Classic letdown, Sean.
I'm saying of those upsets, that was the one that was most surprising.
Okay.
None of these were, I guess, that surprising. But we'll start off. I think the general public would have to say our Thursday night game, the San Diego Chargers winning outright.
Oh, sorry. That's the most surprising outcome.
Okay. Well, that wasn't that surprising to me. And I put my money where my mouth is, had a little bit on the money line. Had a little bit on San Diego +3.5 adjusted game spread, and of course took some San Diego +10.5. That was the spread. San Diego won outright in Denver 27-20. This was really not that surprising. San Diego, a physical team, still kind of in the mix. Cold weather in Denver, and they just played a more physical ball game. I thought San Diego's offense quietly been doing some damage, and I thought they matched up well against the Denver defense.
See, I liked the Chargers here, and I still think this is more surprising than the Ravens. All right, so you got McCoy, you have that factor, and you have the fact that for some reason Phillip Rivers and the Chargers seem to play Peyton Manning well.
It's the second divisional game.
Yeah, true. And the only team that held the Broncos I think the Chargers held them to their previous season low in points. All of that being said, I still think it was the Broncos at home in prime time. I'm not surprised they didn't cover. I'm very surprised they didn't win this game. Very surprised.
Yeah, I mean, I thought San Diego would win in a close one. And a back-and-forth game.
Nice.
This was just a good... It was just a bad spot for Denver, good spot for the Chargers. Well, let's pop over to the NFC East, where the Washington Redskins went down to Atlanta. They were... Now, this spread was kind of all over the place.
It was 6.5 in the contest. Okay. It popped up to 7 at times. Closed it. I think it came all the way down to, like, what, 4.5?
Yes.
3.5, maybe?
Yeah. Now, I don't know. Did we, when we picked this game, did we have a, I'm trying to remember if when we picked this game.
It was 7. No, it was 6.5.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, I forget what I said on the podcast, but I remember definitely talking about it on Sunday and liked Washington.
It was a close your eyes special, basically. I mean, yes. It was.
Well, because they, like we said, they didn't cover the spread by more than 21 points the previous week. They're getting points again. Kirk Cousins, I mean, I have him, if anything, possibly a little bit of upgrade just because the team seems to be more supportive of him. You have an Atlanta team that has no business laying 7 points. Washington, I think they turned the ball over 7 times and still had a chance to win this game. So I think it's as weird as it sounds, Washington has a little bit of momentum here, I think, in these last couple games.
Kirk Cousins wants to get some good stuff on tape.
Kirk Cousins playing for his career right now. Let's be honest. Kirk Cousins is playing for a chance to start in this league, possibly for the rest of his life.
I mean, yeah, he'll get to start 2 more games and maybe not again until he's a free agent.
Or maybe not again at all. If he has 2 bad games right here, who is signing him as a free agent and making him a starter?
Yeah.
This is make or break time for Kirk Cousins. So, you know, one guy's going to be playing hard in Washington. Mike Shanahan went for 2 at the end of the game.
Like that. Shanahan clearly is getting into it with Snyder. That was totally a shot at Snyder.
So great.
I mean, what else is that?
Yeah, I don't know. It's just a guy who doesn't give a shit. Maybe he's just playing for the Rams draft pick, Ryan. We haven't overlooked that aspect of this, that possibly Mike Shanahan. Jeff Fisher could be on the hot seat.
No, I think it's more that they're golfing buddies.
Of all the people that have gotten no mention of the hot seat, Jeff Fisher quietly...
Injuries. Injuries will be the scapegoat this year. Injury, and next year he'll have no excuse.
Next year he's got those draft picks too. So,
and is the young? I mean, they are I think they're the youngest team in the league, I believe.
But clearly, they get rid of Sam Bradford, though, right? We're done with Sam Bradford.
No, I would 100%. He's the quarterback.
Wow.
Unless something shocking happens in the draft, I don't think they draft a quarterback.
It's tough. I guess they're.
I think they believe in him, and I think they're going to draft an offensive lineman and maybe some sort of defensive player.
I like Kellen Clemens better at this point, to be honest. All right, Ryan. Chicago Bears went into Cleveland. Chicago Bears was my pick, -1. I feel like this line floated around, -1, +1, depending on when you got it.
It was +1 in the contest.
Okay, +1 in the contest. I think definitely floated around a little bit here. Jay Cutler, oh, man. We had Chicago in the contest. Felt good about it going in just because I thought Chicago needed this, and Cleveland was kind of snake-bitten by that Patriots loss. Had my had that confirmed. Jason Campbell said the emotional loss of against New England carried over into the Bears game, which is weird because Cleveland actually started out pretty good. Jay Cutler threw a pick in the end zone. I immediately... threw my hands up in disgust, going, I knew it. Why did I back Jay Cutler? Not too much longer. Jay Cutler throws a pick 6. Really, this game should not have... And then I think Cleveland had 2 defensive touchdowns, and Jay Cutler threw a pick into the end zone.
Yeah.
This game should not have been this close. Nope. They just chucked it up a couple times. Alshon Jeffery and Brandon Marshall won the game 38-31 and got the cover. But, man... If you're a Bears fan, I don't know. I like McCown a lot better. McCown has these great receivers and just lets them do the heavy lifting and doesn't turn the ball over. I don't know why you need to be so aggressive at like Jay Cutler does. Normally, I'm a guy arguing for more aggressiveness, but with these receivers, you can play conservative and just let them make the plays.
Yeah. McCown's not the answer.
Well, I don't think Jay Cutler is, so.
All right, that's fair, but I don't think McCown's the answer.
I think McCown's a short-term answer. You want to win these next two games? Hey, I'm an Eagles fan. I'm glad they're starting Jay Cutler this weekend.
I'll tell you that.
I'm glad they're starting Jay Cutler. Arizona Cardinals went into Tennessee. 3-point road favorite. 2.5 points in the contest, Ryan.
Yep.
That's what I got my money down on. I bought the 0.5 point because I thought it could be a close game. Well, I was wrong. It wasn't a close game for the majority of it until late when Arizona botched some onside kicks. Tennessee comes back. From being down 34-17 to tie it up at 34, send it into overtime. Arizona gets an INT in overtime, kicks the game-winning field goal. But, man, Arizona did everything they could do to blow this game.
Yep. This team's almost in the playoffs, too.
Larry Fitzgerald blew an onside kick. You don't see that a lot.
No.
Possibly. I think he took a concussion. Could be out.
I mean, you know, his mind could be elsewhere. It is finals time. It's the time of the year where college students are taking finals. And as you know, Larry Fitzgerald is fulfilling that promise he made to his mom and finishing his degree at University of Phoenix.
He's been doing that for 7 years,
yeah,
I think.
Yeah, you know, that dawned on me earlier this year. I was like, well, wait a second. What are they going to do when he stops, when he finally gets his degree? And then the next time the commercial came on, I was like, oh.
No, they've been doing those University of Phoenix commercials for Larry Fitzgerald for, I think, a good 6 or 7 years. Now
he's taking his time, man, one class at a time.
He didn't start anew. He had at least 3-4 years done, correct?
Yeah, he 3 years at Pitt. Which, to be honest with you, most football players, at least the ones I knew, like, you were forced to take summer credits. So, at a minimum, you're taking... I would imagine you're taking 42 credits a year. At most schools, you only need 120 credits to graduate.
He played his senior year, right? So
I think he came out. Or did he go 4 years?
Oh, I don't know.
I mean, most college kids graduate in three and a half years just because they're forced to take so many credits. Like, they have to be full-time in the summer.
Well, Ryan, you never know. I mean, what if things don't work out in professional sports? He's going to need that University of Phoenix degree to fall back on.
Yeah, the ex-CTO of my company, he graduated from the University of Phoenix, and he was a complete asshat, so I don't know.
All right. Well, one day maybe they'll have Larry Fitzgerald as an alumni.
Maybe.
Fingers crossed.
Maybe.
Houston Texans went into Indianapolis and got worked. As I predicted, Ryan, I know everyone wants to pile on against Andrew Luck and the Indianapolis Colts, laying only 5.5 at home. It was a gift. And, Ryan, you don't look a gift horse in the mouth, so I took that 5.5 that the Colts were laying. Didn't think twice about it. Like I said, four words, Ryan. Wade Phillips, interim coach. Didn't have to think about this one at all.
Oh, I thought you were going to say Luck Hall of Fame. No?
No.
Ah. Yeah,
got another
Sean, tell me how excited you are about betting against the Colts in the first round of the playoffs.
It will be pretty exciting, but if they're at home, man, I don't know.
Wow.
I don't know. I don't know.
If Kansas City is -3 or less, amen.
So Indy is a home dog?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I'm biting. Indy getting 3.5 at home?
Where did I say 3.5? Come on now.
I'll buy the hook. India lose a close game. You worried about Alex Smith lighting up?
Yeah, no. We'll talk about that when we get to that game. But yeah, he did light someone up last week.
St. Louis Rams at home against the Saints. Like we talked about, Ryan, in the opening. Plenty of reasons to like the Saints here. I thought incorrectly that New Orleans would be able to hang with the Rams, being that it was in the dome and that they're the Rams. But as much as a difference as there is between New Orleans and St. Louis, very similar. Huge disparity road and away, and a nice win for the Rams. The win was never in question. They covered the 6-7 point spread. outright winning 27-16.
So, conspiracy theory here. The Saints being good nowadays is good for the NFL. They're a marquee offensive franchise. They have this identity, this home field advantage. It's a city that needs a good story, all this stuff, right, Sean?
You got it.
All right. And they're awful on the road. We can agree on that, right?
Yep.
Maybe they're still listening to what the other coaches are calling.
Now,
that story kind of went away in a hurry. And how else? I mean, look, it's explainable. Oh, this team's way better inside. But look, they've traveled to other domes and they just have, you know, I'm just saying something. Drew Brees threw some bad interceptions. It's almost like he didn't know what the defense was calling.
I like it, Ryan, throwing it out there.
Yeah, plus, I don't know. That's Sean Payton, Drew Brees. They seem like a bunch of scoundrels.
Sean Payton is a Viking addict. That's quietly gotten...
That's another story that just went away. Poor Alden Smith gets pulled over with a couple bags of weed, and he's got to go to rehab for 5 weeks.
Yeah. No one, Sean Payton never had to go to rehab, and if you see the giant wad of dip he's working on, he's chipping pretty hard, I'd say.
Yeah, he needs a fix, man.
That's the thing, Ryan. That's the freedom we have it here at the Sports Gambling Podcast. We can talk about how Sean Payton's in a Viking-induced haze without having to worry about getting sued or potential lawsuits.
Don't have to worry about those corporate sponsors.
Oh, did you see, real quick sidebar, another person linked to the
Aaron
Hernandez case died? A woman, this is the third person linked to the Aaron Hernandez case. I think it was like a girlfriend of a cousin or something. Someone who was tied to it mysteriously died. They're saying no foul play is suspected.
Just like his uncle that like drove off the road?
His uncle died in a scooter accident. Crazy.
Look, conspiracy theory alert here. Aaron Hernandez is in the mafia or something.
Yeah. Strong theory.
Like, what? Who kills this many witnesses anymore?
I don't know. This is a very bizarre story.
Okay. Organized crime, Sean. So there's something's afoot here.
Also, did you hear the story about Aaron Hernandez, how he's enjoying prison?
Oh, why is that?
Because he doesn't have to worry about practice and the stress of football. He can just, you know, be him. He's reading scripture a lot. Just wants to focus, and hopefully in a couple of years gets back to playing football.
That reminds me of a friend of ours who couldn't handle the stress of living in Southern California, so I had to move to Hawaii. Yeah, football's so stressful. Let me go hang out in jail for a little while.
Now, here's the thing, Ryan. Quick fantasy question. If you have Aaron Hernandez in a keeper league, he goes to jail for, let's say they don't get him for murder, they get him for weapons charges, three and a half years. He comes back. Is he still on your keeper roster?
He's marked.
Really?
He's marked.
He's done? Is there some sort of draft afterwards? How do you handle Aaron Hernandez in a keeper league?
I don't know. I guess it depends on the contract.
Feel like
what's he count against the cap next year?
Feel like there should be some sort of supplemental draft for players who are involved in off-the-field murder, stuff like that. That's not fair to a fantasy owner.
Maybe you get some sort of compensatory pick.
Okay, I like that.
Like, if you're, like, you know, I think that needs to go in bylaws of all fantasy leagues. If a player on your team gets incarcerated for more than a season, you get some sort of, like, I don't know what, like maybe a fifth round compensatory pick?
Yeah, nothing crazy. I mean, you should still have some punishment, but, hey, you don't know how.
Oh, look, I just drafted him on my fake team. I didn't tell him to kill those people.
Exactly. Right, Ryan. Speaking of the Patriots, they went into Miami. Oh, Ryan. 2.5-point favorites going into Miami. Although this line moved.
It closed the other way.
Miami is a 2.5-point favorite. Either way, Miami was the right call as Miami won 24-20. Brady coming up short in the last-minute drive. Finally, the Patriots' cardiac antics come back to bite them. They just couldn't pull out that last-second victory. Felt like they should have put this game away earlier. They were moving the ball.
Yeah. It just reminds me when Eli beats Tom Brady when this happens. Tannehill, add him to the list. Quarterbacks that Tom Brady can't beat. Dude, speaking of Tannehill, I don't think enough is being talked about how impressive his second year is, especially considering the fact that he's retarded. Do you remember him in Hard Knocks? He didn't know the divisions.
No.
He didn't know what teams were in what divisions.
Yeah, but that's not retarded by football standards, right?
I think this guy's retarded, man.
I think it's impressive that he's playing so well with that patchwork offensive line. I mean, you lost Richie Incognito and Jonathan Martin. Granted, Jonathan Martin was too soft to be an NFL starter.
Apparently, they're both soft and garbage.
But they're doing a good job. Give it up to Miami and Joe Philbin. People are talking about him as coach of the year. I mean, if Miami wins the division, I would.
Andy Reid has to win coach of the year.
But he's really fat, and he's already won it, so I feel like that counts against him. Speaking of Andy Reid's former team, the Philadelphia Eagles went into Minnesota. Ideal trap game situation. They fell into the trap, losing to the Vikings 48-30. I was worried about this game. I was right to be concerned. Eagles started out slow, kind of out of rhythm. Eventually got hot there late. Looked like they might have a chance to get back into it, but alas, it wasn't meant to be. I think the big story here, a big reason why they lost, is they kept refusing to kick the ball. They just kept giving up so much field position by not kicking to their kick returner, the Vikings kick returner. It kind of drove me crazy. They gave the Vikings great starting position, short field, and Matt Castle and Asiata made him pay.
The big story coming out of this game is how after the game, Chip Kelly, in refuting claims that he is in the running for the Texas job, stated that he is 8-0 as a professional football coach, claiming that the other six games he wasn't professional, so they shouldn't count against his record. Did you see this, Sean? No?
Yeah.
Oh, Chip Kelly's hilarious.
He meant it as...
I know what he meant it as.
But... No, he meant, like, I'm 8-0 when I do a good job coaching, I know. And I'm 0-6 when I do it. That's him taking responsibility.
No, I get that. But I just, the way he said it, though, I just love NFL coaches and their grasp of the English language.
Don't go after Chip Kelly, Ryan. He's a fun guy. They got shakes.
He's into juicing.
They listen to hot jams. All right, let's move on to the New York Football Giants laying an egg at home, embarrassing their team, the city, the entire country, by losing 23-0 to the Seattle Seahawks. New York Giants wanted nothing to do with this game. League leader Eli Manning, 25 interceptions. Who goes first, Ryan, Eli Manning or Tom Coughlin? It sounds like Tom Coughlin will be pressured to step down.
I'll take option C. Carmelo Anthony.
Ryan, can you name the 32 NFL quarterbacks who have a higher QB rating than Eli Manning?
No, we're not doing this right now.
There's
Sean.
32 teams in the league.
John, be graceful.
Somehow,
be
he's
graceful.
33rd.
Be graceful. He has a side wager with Carmelo to see who can suck the hardest.
All right. Got to get that out of my system. All right, San Francisco 49ers went into Tampa Bay against the Bucs, who had been showing some life as of late. I think we both like Tampa Bay here as a home dog, getting 5.5 points. No match. 49ers took care of business, 33-14, and quietly a solid win here for the Bucs, for the 49ers, I think. This was a game they easily could have lost, and... give it up to Harbaugh for coming off the Seattle win and keeping the ball rolling.
And you know what else Harbaugh did? Didn't sign the extension that was offered to him by the San Francisco 49ers. He does not have a contract after this year. Also being rumored around the Texas job.
Ryan, you know who the only job he'll talk about is the job he currently has.
That's true. But guess what? They offer you more money, you don't take it. You're sending a message.
What message is that?
He wants more money. He's not going to Texas. Let's be real.
None of these guys are.
I know.
But if it's basic business 101.
Yep.
If some other offer comes in at $10 million, what are you going to do? Not pretend to at least entertain the offer?
Of course. Mike Tomlin was on the list somehow. Sounds like his agent might have rumored that to try to get him some money.
Well, he's got to pay off that $100,000 fine for standing on the sideline. Buffalo Bills went into Jacksonville. The Jags, that was the sleeper pick, getting a couple points at home.
We were on the right side, Sean.
No.
Yeah, we were.
Well,
when a guy fumbles going into the end zone, it turns into a touchback, and then the game ends on an interception in the end zone. Yeah, we were on the right side.
Well, it rarely feels like it's the right side with the Jags. They lost 27-20 to the Bills. EJ Manuel will not play next week.
Oh.
FYI.
Great.
Kansas City Chiefs went into Oakland. Jamaal Charles went off. Oakland is a home dog, 4.5 points. Seemed like an easy spot for Kansas City to overlook. Not a lot to play for. But actually, now they're kind of back in the mix here. So Chiefs rolled 56-31. Somehow I lost in the fantasy playoffs, even though I had Jamaal Charles.
You lost, Sean?
Yes.
Oh, man.
Very impressive.
I had him on two teams, won in both those leagues.
Well, I mean, it's hard not to. I don't know. It's impressive how I figured out a way. And give it up to Andy Reid. They just kept saying, all right, we're just going to keep throwing to Jamaal Charles out of the backfield.
Well, look, Sean, you were an Eagles fan. If Andy Reid was good at something, it was doing the same thing over and over and over again until you stopped it. I mean, in the Brian Westbrook days, they would run like 4 screen passes in a row.
Yeah, why not?
I know. It's just that. Just keep running coaches, the same play.
That's what annoys me sometimes, like Chip Kelly not kicking to the kickoff returner. These coaches just outthink themselves at some point. It's like clearly you have a matchup advantage, force the other team to stop you, and then deal with it. New York Jets. I like the Jets getting 11.5 points. That was the right call, although Carolina really, I mean, it was technically the right call. Carolina really probably should have covered this game.
Oh, yeah.
Carolina 30, Jets 20. Not much to take here, except Geno Smith up there with, it goes Geno Smith, Terrell Pryor, Eli Manning, worst QBs in the league, and yeah, Carolina took care of business against a non-conference team at home. Again, easy spot to overlook. Start looking ahead towards the Saints.
Yeah, look, this was a big – I mean, this is definitely a spot. I took the Panthers, but this was definitely a good spot to take the Jets due to the fact that the Panthers had that the game next week. And I don't know, Sean. I mean, how's that seat? Is it comfortable on the Cam wagon?
Give it up for Cam Newton. Playing good. Solid. He's got a good defense, so it's kind of really. Ryan? Happens every. Ryan, I'm going to take a moment quick.
No, let's save it for the end. Let's do the other games first.
Okay.
Yeah.
Pittsburgh Steelers. Like I said, like them as a home dog. Getting 3 points at home against the Bengals. They won.
Boy.
Won outright 30-20. Although. On the podcast and in all the pick'ems and everything, I picked Pittsburgh. But because of fantasy, I ended up betting on the Bengals because I had Cincinnati's defense and Giovanni Bernard. So I didn't want to split up my interest, so I just threw a couple bucks on the Bengals.
Yep, how'd that work out?
It did not, Ryan. Did not work out. Not much to take away from here except Cincinnati, man. You got to win this game. Come on. Cincinnati, it's... All these AFC teams had a chance to establish themselves as the AFC team. Denver lost. New England lost.
They could have gotten a bye. Cincinnati lost. Cincinnati could have been in a position to get a bye.
It's just impressive how they all lost.
We talked about it. And now I'm really liking my NFC +2 bet because the AFC, I mean, really, at this point, I'm taking 3 or 4 teams in the NFC over anyone in the AFC.
It's tough. But the thing is, by the time they get to the Super Bowl, they'll be hot. They'll be playing well. They'll be confident. They'll have won either 3 or 4 in a row. So
yeah, look at the flaws. Denver can't stop anyone. Cincinnati can't play away from home. New England has serious problems. The Colts are garbage away from home. I'm just saying that the fact that the game's in cold outdoor stadium, Niners and the Seahawks, man, I wouldn't. You know, the AFC would get romped. And in Carolina, too.
Ryan, that brings us to our last team, the Baltimore Ravens, the team I picked to win the NFC North. It seemed like a horrible prediction early on in the season.
Still is.
Well, right. How far back are they from the Bengals?
They control their own destiny. And I'm still saying it's a horrible bet. Won't happen.
Okay. Well, they took care of business against the Detroit Lions.
Shit on your future bet.
Yeah. Well, the Lions, they were laying 6 points at home. I had them in my Monday night pick. Felt like a good time to go with the Lions, Ryan. And who'd have thought? Who'd have thunk it that Calvin Johnson would be costing us plays here? Couple big drops. Felt like they had a chance to pull away early. And
well, the obvious one's the two-point conversion at the end of the game. But, yeah, on the second drive, it's what, 7-3 or 7-0?
7-0. That was before the
And they're driving. Calvin Johnson, it would have been a catch inside the 35 going in for a first down and just dropped it. And that – he catches that, they score, they go up by at least 10 points, and I think the game might be over. Crazy.
Very weird. Very weird. It's rare to see a guy like Calvin Johnson cost you a game.
To be fair, he had some bad plays, but yeah.
Or just make that many drops. Obviously, Matt Stafford's interceptions, probably the real cost of the game there. Ryan, I know it's the holiday season. Just a quick PSA. That is to remind parents out there not to leave your small children, especially around Tony Romo, because, once again, he is a choking hazard.
I didn't see that one coming, Sean.
Felt good. Dallas 36, Green Bay 37. Oh, man. I had Green Bay +4. I went to sleep. I tried to sleep through this game. Our buddy Justin, the Chargers fan, woke me up saying, dude, they're getting back in it. They're getting back in it.
He was pissed at you. He's like, what? Sean's sleeping? This is a big game for the Eagles season. And he calls himself an Eagles fan. He's sleeping? What's he doing?
Dude, wake up. Wake up. He's getting mad at me. No, he acts like there's not a method to my madness. I knew if I went to sleep, they'd have a much better chance of coming back.
It was beautiful, Sean.
Epic collapse for the Cowboys.
I mean, it was beautiful after he threw the first interception. But when that second interception happened, oh.
They threw that first one, and then Green Bay didn't get the 2 points. So I'm like, okay. Now, I know he's a choke artist in December, whatever, but even I can't ask for two back-to-back late fourth-quarter interceptions.
Look, it's just, I don't know. It's
Ryan, poll question. What's more terrifying, what's more troubling as a Cowboys fan? Dez Bryant storming off the field, Tony Romo throwing back-to-back interceptions, or Jason Garrett throwing his quarterback under the bus? As a fan, what of those would you be most worried about?
First of all, you left out Jerry Jones saying that Jason Garrett will be back as a coach next year. Look, Dez Bryant said he left the field early so he could cry where people couldn't see him.
Isn't that more embarrassing than actually crying?
I'm fine with him doing that just because the story he created. I don't know. Jason Garrett can't sell out his quarterback like that, especially. It's so funny. I mean, and I think I was talking with some people. I think I figured out why the Cowboys suck in December. As much as I want the answer to be Tony Romo, I think their front office sucks, and the team is always really shallow, or at least of late. So when injuries start wearing down teams, they just fall apart. And you know this recent stretch they've been on with their defense has been getting slayed by everyone. Three backup quarterbacks. They're about to face their fourth backup quarterback in a row. And they're still that bad. I mean, Sean, I lost money and the Giants got their ass handed to them. And I was still happy on Monday.
I know.
Like, maybe not a morning I'm going to wake up and immediately, like, dive into what the Lions are doing. I woke up. I was like, need some coffee. Going to flip on NFL. I rarely watch TV and drink coffee in my house before I go to work. Usually get on the run. And I had to sit down, put on NFL Network, wanted to catch some of the press conferences.
Some of the highlights.
Yeah. No, I didn't want highlights of the game. I wanted highlights of the press conferences. Yeah. It was just like, oh.
Just Jason Garrett. That's the best part about sports. it's not celebrating the wins. It's enjoying the
Awkwardness of a press conference where you're being asked why you suck.
Give it up to these guys for being professionals, because I know how pissed off I am after an Eagles loss. Could you imagine if you're the guy who caused all of it? What a pile of garbage you must feel like. And then you have to stand in front of these people and answer their dumb, like, pointless question.
So, what exactly was going through your mind when you decided to drop the ball there at the end of the game?
Well, you know, it's just all about focus and...
You know, it's one game at a time. Just, you know, we're really just preparing for the Bears.
You just got to get better. You just got to get better. There's no excuses.
If we're not getting better, we're getting worse.
Right now, I'm just focused on Washington.
Yeah. So, man.
All right, Ryan. No time for dilly-dallying.
All right, real quick. Little pick'em recap, Sean.
Let's do it.
Again, staying at the top. Number one with 116, Zim-Zum, not dumb. Number two, I am a genius. Number three, G. Luna with 114.
Ooh, he's falling off.
With 113, a rat, whatever the fuck that guy's name is, Aratach, A-Ratch, and E. White coming up with 112. Sean, you and I are not doing very swell. You're only a couple back. I'm a couple behind you. And league head, Sean. Yeah. Playoffs 2 weeks away. First place. Did you win last week, Sean?
Yeah, I did. Pretty sure.
As did I. Only because the guy I was playing didn't play. I don't feel good about it. Still in first place, 13-1. Real league heads, 12-2. The bad horse, 11-3. The playoff line right now, Sean, tie for six wins. I think you're officially eliminated, actually.
Oh, great.
You can win. Nah, you can win out. You have a shot.
How exciting.
You have a shot, Sean.
All right. I'll give it a shot.
What's next? Yeah, don't, you know, not, only if you have some free time, Sean. You know, we don't, I don't want to, you know, cause you to.
Ryan, I got like 9 things going right now, okay?
Okay. Gotcha, Sean.
Let's get to this week 16.
Week 16. Guess what, Sean? No Thursday night games.
Oh, man.
Yeah. Are you really sad about that?
I don't know.
Just like 18 months ago, we spoke about this, and I feel like you hated Thursday night games.
No, I do. I do hate Thursday night games, but then you get used to them, and yep. Now they're no longer here. Yep. That's annoying. I like the Thursday games late in the season.
I see. Makes sense.
People are hanging around the holidays or the Saturday games, which apparently they don't got.
Yeah.
They're trying to phase those out. I would prefer the Saturday games versus a Sunday game. It feels like the playoffs, you know what I mean? Where you get a couple Saturday games, then you get the Sunday games.
Yep.
Enjoy that aspect.
All right, Sean.
Let's do it.
Dolphins at the Buffalo Bills. Dolphins laying 2.5. I don't know how you can get anywhere near this game. I don't see how you can play the Bills. Who's going to be quarterback, Sean?
A man, Thad Lewis.
Maybe you do take the Bills. They played well last week. Look, Jacksonville's a much tougher team than it's Miami. They're going to Buffalo in December, Sean. They're going to circle the wagons, and they're going to fuck. This is a game the Dolphins – look, Dolphins coming off a huge home win over the Pats. I don't know. I'd have to grab the Bills plus 2.5 here.
I got to get 3.5 for the Bills here.
Really?
Yeah. This Bills team is I haven't seen a lot I like out of the Bills. And I like the Bills, so – and I want to take the Bills, but Miami, Tannehill's playing well. I think they go up and I think they can handle the Bills. I just think Tannehill's playing with a lot of confidence. I think Philbin's a better coach, and I think Miami gets out of there with a win.
Okay. Carolina Panthers host the New Orleans Saints, Sean. I feel like this is the same game it is every year. It's the Saints. It's outside on grass. And for whatever reason, the grass in that division seems to be longer in Carolina and in Tampa Bay and slows the Saints down. The Saints are bad away from home. The Panthers are good at home. I think this is a – you play the Panthers, you pass this game at -3.
Yeah, I don't – The only reason I would take New Orleans is just because Carolina seems like such an obvious choice.
Yeah, it's a very popular. I mean, right now, it's dropped a bit. It's averaged. It's come down to 59% on New Orleans.
Yeah, I mean,
oh wow, 59% on New Orleans. I'm sorry. Early in the week, it was I believe close to 70% on Carolina. So that's a little interesting. I'm shocked so many people are betting New Orleans here.
Yeah, I mean, to me, Carolina seems like the obvious choice. Just they're at home. Their defense is playing well. Saints haven't been able to prove they can win on the road. I mean, I could make a case for the Saints, and it's just Drew Brees. Drew Brees, a lot more experience, a lot more leadership.
The Drew Brees that was that we saw last week, or maybe in Seattle.
Listen, I agree. I got Carolina minus -3. I'm just trying to see the other side of the coin here.
Yeah. All right.
It just seems too easy to take Carolina.
Big time rivalry here, Sean. Dallas Cowboys head to the nation's capital. They face the Washington Redskins, led by Kirk Cousins. Redskins are getting 3 at home, Sean. I might be starting Kirk Cousins in my fantasy championship.
You should.
I think you go Washington here grabbing the points. This is a different team. I think this line will probably flirt between 3 and 2.5 all week. But I just don't think you can play the Cowboys as a road favorite with the defense playing the way they're playing. And I mean, look, if you can find a prop, Tony Romo over under 1.5 interceptions, take the over.
Ryan, you know, we look for these bad teams in their Super Bowl. Doesn't this have Washington Super Bowl?
This is the Washington Redskins Super Bowl.
Division game.
And Dallas has a much more important game next week.
Dallas looking ahead. Although if they lose this one and the Eagles win, they're eliminated. Very interesting.
I still think the Redskins are the play here. You can't be a road favorite when your defense is that bad.
No, they've let up. They just keep, and they let up 45 points against McCown, 37 points to Matt Flynn. I think Kirk Cousins will put up 42
points. How many did
points.
McGloin put up on him?
McGloin let him up at Thanksgiving. They were lucky to win that one. If the Raiders aren't the Raiders.
Yeah, no, I'll make a prediction, Sean.
Sure.
Sometime, either late first quarter, early second quarter, Tony Romo is going to throw a pick six to one D'Angelo Hall, and it's going to make it like a 17-point game, and the Cowboys are just going to pack it up. Rams host the Bucks. St. Louis Rams coming off that win. I think there was a bit of an adjustment here. Rams are now laying 5 at home against the Bucks. I don't really want to take the Bucks here, but I don't know if I can take the Rams laying more than a field goal, right? I feel like you got to take the dog here.
Nah, this game feels too close to be 5.5. This feels like 3, maybe 4 points. 5.5.
I could see 3.5, but to say 5 from 3, that's still a big.
That's almost a touchdown.
Yeah, I'm going to take the Bucks here. I think these teams are kind of similar. They kind of play tough defense. The Rams have a really good pass rush. Not great against the run, whereas the Bucks are better against the run team. It should be an interesting game. I worry about Glennon and that pass rush on that turf. That's my only concern, is that will St. Louis's defense score, putting the game out of reach. But I think you got to take the Bucks here. All right, Sean. I'm going a little out of order because this game was flexed. Your Philadelphia Eagles. Over under. How many times is NBC going to play the Rocky theme? Twice?
Maybe a couple.
Eagles host the Bears. Lance Briggs might be back. Cutler's still in. Bears just killing it. Eagles coming off Eagles underperformed the spread by over 21. Of course, they are laying points. I still think the Eagles is the play here. This line opened at 4. That probably is a better line. If you look at last week, the look-ahead line, I believe, was 4.5 or 5 for this game. And, you know, the Bears kind of win by a lot of points in a game that was much closer, at least on the scoreboard for most of the game. And the Eagles, you know, they were, like you said, they were kind of sleepwalking. Might have been a little look-ahead situation for them or just not, you know.
Well, this is a weird game because if Dallas beats
No, I'm saying the Eagles were looking ahead last week or just not there last week. I think the Eagles bounced back because it's a must-win for them. Well, it's not really a must-win for them. But
the game could be completely meaningless because if Washington,
Dallas loses.
If Dallas wins against the Redskins, this game is meaningless.
Oh, I see.
Because then Eagles, regardless of what happens against Chicago, the division will be decided the final week in Dallas. The only reason this game matters is if Dallas loses, then the Eagles could clinch the division by a win.
Which is probably what's going to happen, let's be honest.
Well, I mean, I think that's a huge factor in the motivation here. I could definitely see the Eagles not getting up for this game if...
I think they get up for it regardless. I think it's a night game in Philly. And I think a win, regardless of what... I mean, they're coming off a loss. They want to right the ship before this Dallas game, regardless if they need to win or not.
Yeah. I mean, I hope so. But I'll take the Bears getting 3 points.
Oh, wow.
I think...
Reverse jinx attempt.
Yeah, it is. I think the Bears receivers are going to be a tough matchup for the Eagles. Defensive secondary, it's banged up. They've been giving up big plays. So I think it's going to be – I think the Eagles win, but I think it's going to – if they do win, it's going to be by 3 or 1 point. I mean, I think Chicago plus 4 is a good bet. So I'll still go Chicago plus 3.
This might be an over game too, the way both defenses potentially could play. Next up, Jets host the Cleveland Browns. Jets are laying 2.5. I know the Jets have been up and down this year, but I got to believe that Geno Smith has to have lost some of that confidence. That defense is just – the defense kind of got shredded a little bit by Cam Newton. And this Browns team has really been playing – you could argue they played well enough to win that game against Chicago. I think I got to take the points here with the Browns. I think the Browns defense just locks down the Jets on offense, and Browns win a relatively low scoring game, like a 24-13 type game.
Now we got this at 2.5.
Yep, 2.5.
I'm gonna go Jets here.
Okay.
The Jets don't make sense, so this makes sense for them to show up at this game a little bit.
Okay.
And I think Cleveland, two tough losses at home. Now you go into Week 16. Not a lot to play for. You're going to be getting drunk in some New York nightclubs, coming in with a hangover.
Partying with LT.
Jets have a little something to play for, a little thing called pride. I like the Jets here, -2.5.
All right, Sean. This could be a preview. This will be a preview of week one in the divisional round of the, or the wild card round of the playoffs. Chiefs host the Colts. Of course, the playoff game will be in Indy, most likely. Oh, my goodness, Sean. I maybe I'm wrong. Maybe the line will be less than 3. I still don't think it will be. Chiefs are laying 7 here at home. Tough spot to want to take that many points with the Chiefs. But they don't need this game. There's no reason they're going to show the Colts anything.
Well, here's it. Are they not – look? Can we look at the – can we get an updated playoff picture? Because
– they would need – I mean, Denver needs to lose.
Well, what about the number 2 spot? Aren't they playing for a potential bye now?
Who?
The Chiefs.
They'd have to win the division. They'd have to beat Denver.
Oh, that's right.
And so Denver would have to lose. So I guess I see that. But I think if you're the Chiefs, don't you almost rather stay the wild card and play the Colts round one?
Yeah, I don't think the Chiefs don't have much to play for. Andy Reid's going to close up that playbook. Alex Smith with a limited playbook. I think it's going to be tough for them to get a lot of points.
Who knows, though? They have the athlete. It could be one of those situations where the culture is that bad and just can't do anything. I mean, defense is one of those things. You don't have to discuss, you don't have to save defense.
Yeah, I just think it's in a game that's kind of meaningless where they're not going to be shown a lot, 6.5's a lot. So I'll take the Colts here.
It's 7 in the contest.
I'll take 7 then. But yeah, this is a bad game to bet on.
Yeah, I don't. It's tough because if the Chiefs do come, I just don't see why. Like, what you have to gain by, you got to save stuff for this Colts team. So I guess I would probably take the points here. Next up, Vikings head to the Cincinnati Bengals. Vikings are getting 7 points. This spread's not big enough. This is a classic. One team underperformed the week before. The other team overperformed. I like the Bengals here. It's 7. I would imagine my only concern is that everyone's betting that. But if you can get 7, it's going to go up higher. It's going to go to 7.5. And this could be one of those games that goes all the way up to 9.5 by kickoff. I think you got to take the Bengals here.
That's what I got, Ryan. I got the Bengals here.
Yep. Coming home. Like, they're 6-0 at home, too.
Yeah, it seems like an overt adjustment. Minnesota played their minds out. They played the best game of the year last week. Now they go on the road. Cincinnati needs this game. Yeah. I think they show up at home.
Next up, Broncos head down to Houston where the Texans are getting 10.5. Ben Tate out for the season. This Texans team just can't do anything right other than convince me to pick them. 10.5 is too much for the Broncos on the road here, isn't it, Sean?
That it is.
I don't know. And the way the Broncos' defense is, I mean, look what San Diego did to them. San Diego's not a great defense. Texans are a better defense. They should be able to learn from what San Diego did. I like the Texans here plus the 10.5 a lot.
I'm going to have to go Broncos here. Just feels like a game they light up the Texans.
Yeah.
Texans, I'm not taking a Wade Phillips interim team. Just not. I'm blindly playing against the Texans.
All right, Sean. Tennessee Titans head to Jacksonville where the Jaguars are somehow getting 5.5 points. What are we missing here, Sean?
Ryan Fitzmagic.
Okay. I'm taking the Jacksonville Jaguars at home. I think they played well enough to win the game last week. I think they clean up some of those mistakes. And, again, last couple dogs, I think, have some bite in them tonight or this weekend.
I'll go to the Titans. I don't think the Jags show up. I think that was their last shot.
Oh, I don't think so. Interesting, though.
Tennessee's a feisty bunch.
We shall see. Road favorite, 5.5 points for Fitzmagic. That's crazy. Next up, Seattle at home hosting the Arizona Cardinals. Arizona's getting 10.5, Sean. I think this is a trap. I think the 10.5 is dangled there so you can grab the Cardinals. I think Seattle might just roll them. I think Seattle will really shut down that offense, and I think their defense is going to struggle being on the field most of the game.
Yeah, I mean, we talked about it. I Seattle at home, I'm just going to keep riding them.
It's one of those things. You either take them or pass, right?
Yeah, I mean, you could make an argument, right, about the Cardinals, but I don't think Larry Fitzgerald's going to play.
It feels like a trap. Like, why isn't this game 2 touchdowns?
Well, Arizona's a playoff team.
No, they're not.
I mean, they're in the mix for the playoffs.
I know, which is crazy, but this is why Seattle's winning
the Super
Bowl.
It's not if you listen to our season preview. I said that I was the most confident over-under I ever
had. It's true. But Seattle's going to show why they're going to win the Super Bowl this year in this game, and they're just going to dominate a 9-6 Cardinals team? All right, Sean.
I think they're 8-6.
We head to Detroit, where the Giants are taking on the Lions. The Giants are getting 9.5 points, Sean. And in the craziest thing I've seen all week, Giants are getting over 75% of the tickets printed. Detroit is a garbage team. At times, they're inconsistent. Schwartz doesn't know what he's doing. But I'm not sure the Giants have 45 guys to put a jersey on this weekend.
Whoa.
They're really banged up. And there's some talk of just not playing Eli if because there's so many injuries along the offensive line. So I don't see how you take the Giants. I would say lay off this game, maybe put Detroit in a teaser, because that shit sure as shit is guaranteed money. Coming off a loss, Detroit is going to roll the Giants. I might put $4,000 on Detroit money line. Why not?
It is the NFL. I know. Detroit is a pretty dysfunctional team.
You got to put them in a teaser. You got to tease them. Roll out that 6.5-point teaser. Get it down to 2.5. Call it a day.
Yeah.
It's a great teaser Sunday, by the way.
I mean, Sean. How do you – you can't take the Giants, right?
No.
Detroit at home. They'll light it up in the
Cruise
dome.
Out. Knicks banged up. Half the offensive line banged up.
Right. Their heart is out. This team
– heart banged up. JPP out for the year.
This team packed it up in San Diego. They haven't seen the field since.
Yep.
Give me the Lions.
All right. Well, the defense played last week. Anyway.
Against the Seahawks?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, if not for the defense, they would have lost like 49-0.
And you got Eli Manning, who just – one of the more generous mans in the league. A solid 4-INT lead.
Here we go.
Ryan, is that why they're going to bench him so he doesn't give Geno a Smith?
No.
For the record,
one of the beat writers was joking that they should sit him down because I think they're missing, like, I don't think they have enough for an offensive line in practice. I think they're playing like tight ends at tackle and shit.
Why?
Chargers host the Raiders. Chargers laying 10. Sean, is San Diego for real?
Well, again, this is one of these games where you got to look at some stuff going on with the playoffs. San Diego, I think they're playing later. I think
they're out, aren't they?
No, they have a small chance. They're 7-7. They need to win out and get some help here.
Okay.
But I think they're going to get some bad news early, so I like Oakland plus 10.
Okay. Interesting. Yeah, I'm going to take the points here, too. But, man, are there a lot of games that I'm interested in teasing tomorrow.
A lot of Raiders fans in SoCal, Red.
Raiders.
They'll show up.
If you've ever been to a bar with Raiders, that's all they do. Because something good happens, Raiders. It's very strange. Very depressing. Packers host the Steelers. The Packers are laying 7. I'm guessing this line is off in most spots. Yeah. So the LVH put the line at 7. You know what that tells me, Sean? I think they're expecting Aaron Rodgers to play.
Well, that's a bad line because I just talked to my boy, John Clayton, and he told me Aaron Rodgers is not playing. And he also had a great joke. He goes, Aaron Rodgers might try a discount double check to have the doctors look at his collarbone again.
Oh, man.
Solid John Clayton line. I don't think he plays. It sounds like the bone's not healed. If he was going to be play, he would have been medically cleared already. So 7 is a horrible line for this game. But
yeah,
when it moves down to 4, I like Green Bay.
Yeah, well, who knows what it's actually going to open at. I mean, let me see if there's a line anyway. But 7 tells me that they know. They're not just guessing. They must know something, right? Like,
they are Vegas, Ryan, so it makes sense that they would know something.
So this line is officially off the board everywhere. So I'm kind of with you. Like, assuming Rodgers is out, I think this feels like a Packers by 3.5 or 4. I still don't believe in this Steelers team. But God, the way that Packers defense is so bad, I could see the Steelers hanging with it. So I guess I would recommend taking the Steelers over 4. Sean, big game. No Sunday night game. Oh, no, it's the Eagles game. Sorry. What was supposed to be the Sunday night game, a rematch of the conference championship, Ravens host the Patriots. Ravens laying 2.5. I don't know what to think of this game. I'm starting to think that maybe I should go put a couple bucks on the Ravens to win the AFC. I mean, look, someone's got to win that conference, and no one seems to be on the uptick right now more than the Ravens. This Patriots team is going to have trouble moving the ball, I think. This feels like a game. Unfortunately for Baltimore, it's not being played at night. I feel like that would really help them. You trot Ray Lewis out or something. This feels like the game you trot Ray Lewis out. The crowd's really hyped. I hate the Ravens. Somehow Joe Flacco didn't tear his ACL. and has the ability to throw the ball a mile. I'll take the Ravens here. God, I hate it though.
I'm gonna take the Patriots. Feels like I don't see them losing back to back games. I just don't.
Yeah,
give me New England.
And they it's need as simple it. As that. They need it. All right, Sean. Last game of the week could be a farewell game for most likely a farewell game for Candlestick Park. The last home game for the San Francisco 49ers. I guess they're moving down the road to Santa Clarita or some shit like that. Some Santa something. 49ers host the Falcons. Falcons are getting 12.5 points. The 49ers, God, they're the better team, but do you really lay the points?
No, I don't either.
You got to take them or pass, right?
I don't think San Francisco is a big favor we don't like.
I think
I don't like them laying more than 10 points. That's no knock on the team. It's more just the it's just not the style of football they play.
God, Sean, what a great week for teasers. What a great week for big old juicy money line parlays. I probably wouldn't put the Texans in or the Broncos in anywhere, but just find a couple home teams you like. Like, say, the Seahawks, the Lions, and the 49ers. Throw it a nice little 10-pointer. Anyway, Sean, lock of the week. I guess I'll make a stipulation here, assuming no stipulation. My lock is the Eagles, -3. My money line underdog of the week is got to be give me the Jacksonville Jaguars. But, Sean, I'll tell you what. I'm going to parlay the Jags and the Texans on the money line.
Now, what are you seeing on this Texas game that I'm not seeing, Ryan?
The Texans?
Because I'm always interested in a 10.5-point home dog. Like I said last week, in the tweet at Gambling Podcast.
Denver can't lay that many points with that defense.
Told guys to sprinkle on that money line.
Yep.
I can't see them winning outright. I'm sorry, though.
Well, I don't know. Look, 390 parlayed with 205. That'd be a nice little payday. Anyway, my three-team tease, I'm going to keep it simple for you. Chiefs aren't losing that game. I don't care if they don't care about the game. The Chiefs aren't losing. The Bengals aren't losing. And last but not least, if Aaron Rodgers is playing, put the Packers in there. If not, just walk right down to the Detroit Lions. Tease that down to 3. Make it a 6.5 point if you have to. Make it 3 or 2.5. Lock it up. So easy.
All right, Ryan. Let's see, where should I start? My lock of the week?
Give me the lock, Sean.
Give you the lock. All right, we got a couple. I'm a locksmith, Ryan. I got so many locks. I got locks on locks on locks. But my ultimate lock. Oh, man, I kind of want that Green Bay game, but the line up in the air, it's going to be tough. I'm going to go Washington Redskins getting 3 points.
Like it.
I'll give it to you a lock at 3 points. Tease? Three-team tease. Is that what we're going on? All right. I'll get the Colts getting 13 points.
Okay.
Colts getting 13. I like the I like the Lions laying 4.
Oh.
Or 3, sorry. And I'll take the Patriots getting 8.5.
Okay.
Nine.
I like that. Teasing through some key numbers there.
Yep. And for my upset special, I'll go with the Colts, baby. Oh, ride or die. One more time with my Colts.
Do it.
6.5 is a lot for the number of wins and for Andrew Luck, Ryan.
Yeah.
That's right. I said it. Andrew Luck finds ways
to win games. We get it.
All right, Ryan. Well, that'll do it for this podcast. Like I said, we're trying to work on a bowl preview podcast, hopefully later.
When's that going to air? Maybe Friday? Are we going to be able to work that out?
Yeah. Well, we'll figure it out. It'll probably appear sometime Friday, probably late Friday.
Because the bowl starts Saturday.
We'll get it up sometime Friday for you guys. Sounds good. And, of course, hit us up on the Twitter, at Gambling Podcast. A lot of guys sending in their regular season NBA action. Always try to get some retweets out there for you guys. Guys going back and forth on their picks.
Yeah, you know what? Before we end the show, we should talk, because it came up today on Twitter. There was a lot of, why are the Blazers favored over the Timberwolves today? I don't get it.
Yes.
So, Sean, as we've spoken about on the show before, I spent the better part of 2 to 3 seasons, day to day, multiple hours a day tracking the NBA, trying to monitor trends, just trying to find any edge, right? And one of the things we did find is just that in an NBA season, there will be scheduled losses and then just games that become scheduled losses based on the previous game. In this case, Portland, who were they playing last night, Sean? I don't want to get this wrong. Portland was coming off a very emotional win in which Damian Lillard
versus the Cavs
hit the three-pointer in Cleveland, I believe, on the court that Kyrie built. Ooh, dig LeBron. Comes back the next day, and where do they have to play, Sean? They have to play Minnesota in Minnesota. Look, they ended up making a game of it, but this is not surprising. After that huge emotional game, they had to play the full 48 minutes. What happens? They come out slow. Timberwolves are up 69-43 at half. It ends up being a 120-109 game, but listen, that's the classic road 2-point favorite, or I don't even know the spread. I'm going to guess it was 2 to 2.5 points. That's much like in the NFL when you see those road 2.5-point favorites. I mean, it's not always a trap, but it smells like there's usually some trap symptoms surrounding it. And just look, the big, especially when the game's prime time, you have a prime time marquee matchup followed by so back-to-back road. When a team's on the road in a prime time game, and they have a game the following night that's also on the road.
Rest disparity trumps all is where you're getting it.
I'm not saying it's blindly play back-to-backs on the road. I'm saying if that first game is a game that the team that has the back-to-back had to play hard the whole game and either lost or won a very close game, look to fade them the next night, especially if the team they're playing had some rest. As I guarantee, they will start slow. I mean, if anything, we found that the first half bets were the key in this situation. If I was on this game, I would have, and had I been tracking this, I would have been on the Timberwolves first half, because this is what you see: the team that's coming off that big, you know, kind of roller coaster, they just get started a little slower for some reason.
Makes sense, Ryan. Makes sense. Thank you guys for listening to the podcast. Like I said, hit us up on the Twitter at Gambling Podcast. Of course, rate us on the iTunes. That always helps. You know, give us a good rating if you enjoy the program, which if you're listening to this portion, I'm guessing you do. And of course, we're on Stitcher, the whole nine, for the Sports Gambling Podcast. I am Sean, stacking the money green, and he is Ryan.
Sean, quick shout out. We are not that far away from 1,000 followers, I think.
Spread the word.
Yeah, spread the word. I almost feel like there has to be some sort of incentive to the 1,000th follower.
Well, we'll figure it out. Yeah. Give you a free t-shirt. Probably.
I don't know. How will that work?
Well,
we'll figure it out.
We'll get our brain trust together.
We're smart. We'll figure it out. We'll get the numbers people working on it.
We'll get the Elias Sports Bureau on it. Kramer, let it ride.